John Richardson Show.
With John Richardson.
Welcome to Golden Rules and Summer Showers. I feel like I'd be a little bit bored here on the pod intro and tell you that the golden applies to both. A little conversation about the band Oasis, which you may have heard of on this week's podcast. Kerry Godliman is here. You were very taken with last week's news that there had been a raccoon on a train, I think.
I was over the moon about it. I wish I'd seen a raccoon on a train.
Yeah, we carried on more rules for public transport, and it was derailed slightly by Kerry's absolute insistence, actually, that a raccoon on a train is not only something not to be policed, but to be encouraged.
Encouraged, and if you bring a raccoon, by all means, get on for free.
Yeah, so...
Free ride for raccoons and ferrets.
I would love this to be the start of a boom in the British raccoon population. And we
Why
know exactly...
not? It'd be lovely, wouldn't it? In fact, all the animals on the trains, please. I just want... I want a sort of... I want parrots. I want giraffes. I want
giraffes
it to look like
on a train?
Yeah, just tuck them in. Bend down, tuck them in.
I mean... Were it possible to go back in time, I think bend down and tuck them in would be a better name for this week's podcast. But if you hear anything that makes you want to get in touch, it's john at absoluteradio.co.uk. Otherwise, enjoy the show.
John Richardson.
And the John Richardson Show.
So welcome aboard. It's John Richardson here on Absolute Radio with the wonderful Kerry Godliman.
Hello.
The female rage machine, as you were dubbed last week.
I've chilled out a bit since then.
Have you?
I've got a whole new persona now, John. I'm really
Have you?
Laid back.
Are you going in a different direction?
I'm thinking about it. I'm flirting with it. I'm
That's
experimenting
a risk.
with less rage. We'll see how we get on.
Yeah, you're one train journey away from thinking, people are taking the mickey out of me. They're laughing at
me. Come on, believe in me. Believe.
It's you think be you might be chilled forever now?
I'm going to lean into it. I don't know about forever. Don't let's get too ambitious.
All I would ask, and it's something to think about maybe during the next record, do you know any very chilled comedians? We'll start with the unfinished business from last week.
That's what comedy is, isn't it? Moaning.
Yeah, and that's why you can't do comedy in nice places, because they're all sipping the nice wine with the nice clothes on and going back to the nice houses. They don't share the You're rage right. at the existence of others.
You're stirring me up now. You're churning me into
that's
a fury.
What I want. I just want you. I only need you furious for 3 hours, and then you can chill out again. You can have a herbal tea
doing
or do
really
whatever
well.
You do.
How far did we get?
About 27 seconds, I think.
Oh.
So you're listening to not the cleanest show on the radio, but certainly the tidiest. So every week we tie up the loose ends from last week. You, of course, weren't here last week. Angela Barnes was in that chair, and something very unique happened to her last week. Here it is.
Gracias, see? Mm. I don't speak very good Spanish. Me no speak Spanish.
There you go.
Wow. That's... She went full Basil Fawlty.
She did. That's where the bar has been set. So as long as you stay under that, you might be back next week. And we wish Angela all the best with her disciplinary. Now, one thing we did discuss on the subject of rage last week was we went back to our rules four and we discussed some rules for public transport. We thought it was done and dusted. It is not. We have struck a nerve. The email has been buzzing all week and we had this from Rachel.
Hi, John. I know you discussed the rules for public transport last week, but I really think it's a two-way street. Now, bear with me. I often thought this for a while. Why on earth don't they put a window or kind of some kind of absorbing artwork on the bit where the buggies are parked? So, you know, the babies and toddlers are forced to stare at that blank grey wall. No wonder why they get fidgety and start crying. Now, really, we could get into a debate about what parents can do for comfort or entertain their kids on the transport, but, you know, parenting is hard, so, you know, we will not go there. Now, the bus company could make it a bit easier because I've spent my whole journey feeling bad for kids, like, many times. Just an idea. Thanks, Rachel.
There's a lot to unpack there.
There is, isn't there? And it just goes to show you can do the rage, but you can just end it with, just an idea.
Yeah.
That's a lovely way of...
Yeah, she was
full-blown
that
argument
was chipper
in the
rage.
Street. I'll tell you what,
Hi,
mate, why don't you shove it and go back to wherever you came from? Just an idea. Thanks. Bye.
I think it's all right for kids to just, you know, stare at a blank wall.
I do.
I'm all for that. I don't like it when they're overstimulated.
Well, do you know what the problem on transport is now? Adults no longer just stare out of the window at a wall.
No.
Because they're all on devices.
Exactly. That gets
She's
me down.
She's really straying into rules for parenting there. And that, is a, that's a TV documentary series, really, isn't it?
Yeah,
that's
definitely.
Difficult to do that in a sort of chipper phone in across 3 hours. We'll take it on board, Rachel. Thanks for your idea. Bye. I also got criticised last week, Kerry. Can you believe it?
I can, yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Unfair. I used the phrase last week, off your own back.
That's what I would say, off your own back.
Oh, well, you better check your inbox, mate, because people don't like it. Apparently, it's off your own bat.
No, I refuse to accept that.
I did not refuse to accept it. I took the correction with grace. I was criticised on air.
I've been saying it all my life, off your own back.
I've been saying it all my own life, and I used it sarcastically this week on the WhatsApp group to prove that I'm fine with being criticised.
I hate finding out I've been saying things wrong.
Well, the joy is it doesn't stop with an on-air apology. Kate got in touch in the week.
Hiya, John. I am sorry to do this to you, but while you were ripping into people last week for the incorrect use of literally, you said people have been policing the streets off their own back, when I think you meant off their own bat. So I've gone to the trouble of making a jingle for the new spin-off of the Literal Police. Incorrect idiom.
Incorrect idiom. Oh, I love her.
Yeah, fair play.
Brilliant.
Fair play. Yeah.
Just very deadpan idiom contribution. Yeah. Insert.
Incorrect idiom. Thank you, Kate, and everybody else who's ever criticised me. I welcome the opportunity to grow stronger and speak better.
When it's grammar, you like it, don't you? You like that sort of criticism.
You just, if you're going to give it out, you've got to take it.
Yeah, you're right.
And I give it out.
You really give it out, mate. So
anyway,
you've got to take it.
Let me tell you exactly what is going to happen in your life until the end of the show. Is that fair?
Yeah, seems very clear.
Might deviate a bit, might we, I suppose. Go on one of them riffs.
I'm so laid back now, let's see.
You're so chilled,
aren't
you? I'm
so chilled, John, I'm just chilled.
I wonder how it's going to be when you're still in the studio when Sarah Champion turns up and we explain that you're just too chilled to leave.
Yeah, we're like, hi, babe.
I would love you
don't
to do that.
Don't mind me. Yeah, that's the persona I'm experimenting with today.
I think people would welcome that so long as you weren't too chilled to go and sort of make teas and things.
I might be too chilled for that.
Yeah, I think that's going to be a problem. I can see like how thirsty you are, but mm-hmm. I just think thirst is sort of in the mind and you've just got to get over it.
Yeah, just get over. Yeah, get past it. Just
get past thirst. Mm. Mm. But if you are going, two sugars, please. we're going to do Saturday Smugness. Of course we are. We've set quite a high bar so far, I think. We've stopped hearing from the... it sort of backfired on me a little bit because it was supposed to be, if you've gone and walked the dog or something and you're proud of yourself, I'll take you down. We now get people who've achieved quite a lot texting in.
And I struggle
to take them down. But I can feel I'm sort of really becoming nastier as a result. And it's bleeding into my personal life. Yeah, sometimes I forget I'm not on air. I'll just be in the pub with someone and say, I've had a great week. And I say, have you?
Let's see.
Let's see, shall we? Last week, you missed an absolute belter. James, who got in touch when we first started the show to say that his wife had left him, got back in touch to say that they've reunited and they're giving it another go.
Aww.
Yeah, that's nice, isn't it? I was horrible.
yeah, I'm not surprised.
If you want to send that sort of thing in, it's probably best you do it on another station.
Yeah.
This is where you send in something you've achieved and I will be mean to you. And I've been told by Will I've got a challenge on my hands this week. We'll find out. The rules for public transport did go a bit mad last week, so we're going to read a few more that came in during the week, and we will set one as our golden rule, I think. At the moment, the front runners for golden rule on public transport, don't have a ferret and don't cut your toenails.
That seems reasonable.
What's wrong with a ferret?
I'm fully on board with the toenails, but what is the problem with the ferret?
I just think it's a ferret on a train.
Yeah, but it's all right, though. If it's on a lead, it's not going to bother you, is it?
It wasn't in a box and it wasn't on a lead. Just a ferret.
Oh, yeah, but that's really entertaining. I mean, I'm all for all animals. I love a cat with a window bag. You know those bags that have got a little kind of porthole?
Oh, yeah.
I love it. I love looking at a cat through those. All right, mate.
I always think, how have you got the cat in that? Because they don't like going in stuff, do they, cats?
You've wrestled that cat in. But the cat's like, I'm in now, might as well live my life.
You made a little window with your hands and I thought you were going to talk to me like for the rest
of
the show.
All right, mate!
Through a little window.
So I'm pro the ferret, but anti the toenail clipping.
Yeah, you're like a cat in a box, but a wild ferret.
Not wild. It's got to be domesticated. It's on a lead. Some like it's not loose. I wouldn't want a loose
domesticated,
animal.
They're not toilet trained. Have you smelt a ferret?
No, there's but I do know of it is a pet, isn't it? People have ferrets.
Yeah, but they don't. They smell of wee.
Do they?
Ferrets. Oh, they've got a real strong scent about them. That's why we've
all
never got
them.
On. We sort of clash, ferrets and I.
All ferrets. Sort of,
I have never. Oh, there are certain senses you don't want to say on air. I've never smelt a ferret that didn't smell bad.
How many ferrets you smelt, John?
I probably smelt quite a lot of ferrets.
Double figures?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
What?
Not
what
like
do you mean, I wouldn't these ferrets.
I wouldn't make a trip to smell a ferret. How has this happened? All I was doing was outlining what's happening on today's show.
I just don't know how you've smelt so many ferrets. I don't think I've smelt one, and you're talking double figures.
If you've been near a ferret, you've smelt a
when
ferret.
When have you been, like a kid's farm or something?
Yeah, exactly. Like
but
a
they just
farm.
Stink anyway. That's a general fug.
No, it's the ferrets. It's, you're not blaming the guinea pigs.
All those animos stink.
I think a ferret is a very unique scent. That's all I'm going to say.
What about skunk? But thoughts?
Never encountered a skunk.
Well, they are known to smell bad.
Yeah, but I don't see them raced at a children's farm.
Alpaca?
A skunk race.
Alpaca. Sniffed one?
I love an alpaca. Yeah, well, I like any animal where you get warned, this will spit at you if you wind it off. It just makes me admire any creature.
I should really warn people that I can be a bit like that.
Yeah, well, we there's an email goes round before you come in the building. We'll be doing I Love You, But, again, the antidote to people who are proud of their achievements. There's a sort of energy running through this show, isn't there? But basically, we do one dedication a week. It can't be like, you've just like always been there for me and I just love you so much. You can do that, but then you have to say, however, please stop cutting your ferret's toenails on the train or whatever it is. If you've got one, you can send that in now. And the literal police back, of course. Last week, we locked up football icon Kevin Phillips and all three of Remember Monday last week. We've got two offenders lined up today, including, prick up your ears, a repeat offender. First time, obviously, the literal jail is not working. We're not rehabilitating these people properly. They've continued to come in. It seems it is. I think what's happened is people have listened to the show and thought, oh, actually, I'm sort of fairly chilled out on public transport. And then during the week, they've gone on their commute and thought, oh, actually, here's a group of people I would gladly imprison.
That's what happens when you think you're chilled out. It doesn't last.
You're chilled out until your first encounter with another human being.
Yeah.
Or a ferret. So John got in touch. Now, I don't know how I feel about this one. Because whilst this is not ideal behaviour, I think there's nearly always a reason for it. John says, folk that think, that's a good, I like anyone who says folk, folk that think it's okay to use buses to move home. There is a limit to the number of items you can bring on, one item per limb. If you have to go back to the pavement more than twice, use a van.
He is not mucking about, is he? I think that's a bit mean.
I think nobody wants to move home on a bus, right?
No. The backstory there is this isn't what I want in life.
Yeah. When I first moved to Bristol, after I dropped out of uni, I moved into a bedsit and I needed a bookcase. You know, like the really cheap bookcases that are just like three slats of wood, unvarnished. Three slats going up, big tall ones, three slats going across, and you just nail them together.
Yeah.
I walked from Clifton in Bristol to the centre, because there was only one Argos in the centre of Bristol.
Yeah.
Walked all the way down. I couldn't afford a taxi to get back with this thing. Got to the bus, too embarrassed to get on the bus.
So you walked. Oh,
yeah,
John, that you wheel out at this particular chapter in your life. Is this before or after the crying in the car bit?
This well after that.
Right,
the crying
right.
in the car was a warning that I shouldn't have moved to Bristol, and I moved there anyway.
I just want to go back in time and go, John!
Yeah, you'd be shouting it a lot. You'd be shouting it every year from about 12. John, don't do that!
John!
Don't do that, you silly sausage. So carried this bookcase. Anyone who knows Bristol will know.
Hill.
It used to be a pool bar called the Elbow Rooms. And this is why I deserve all this. So by the way, if you ever feel sorry for me, just know deep down I'm a nasty piece of work. I used to go and have a pint in the Elbow Rooms because I like to watch people try to reverse park on a steep hill.
Wow. So, and this is before, like, you know, like this is olden cars as well, isn't it? So you had to do...
Oh. Like no now, automatics knocking
yeah,
about there.
Automatics do quite a lot of work for you. My granddad used to say, you'll bugger that clutch.
Yeah, exactly that. Exactly. And you can spot the angle. Oh, no.
They're not going to make it.
Ah, wonderful. Having another go. Going to have a third? Nope, they're going to park somewhere else. Off you go. Cheerio.
I feel like that's my life because I've got a camper van. So I do a lot of like, I'll give it a go. And then, no.
Yeah, so I deserve all the misery and I deserved to be soiled by a passing pigeon while I was carrying a bookcase up a steep hill in Bristol. You've got one from James.
I've got one from James. He says, ban people who get on a crowded train and do not remove their backpacks! !
Will's nodding.
I'm with him. Spatial awareness, guys.
Yeah.
You could take someone out with one of those things.
I got taken out this week by an American gentleman.
What? With his backpack or just his chiseled object?
He ran on last minute with his... I judged him, I have to say, as a human being and a parent, because he's clearly just got... They've just arrived.
Yeah.
So she's got her case with her. He's got it all in the backpack. He runs on for the train as the doors is closing.
Yeah.
I said, like, where's old Gummidge then?
Well,
he went on
through
the train as the doors is closing and I've got my tutting head on.
I just had a really pleasing flashback.
He goes first. So, like...
In front of his child?
Yeah.
No, that's unacceptable.
I mean, she's grown up. She's, like, late teens.
Yeah, no, that's but what you do.
That's bad parenting.
Well, what if the door's closed?
Round.
Child left
behind. Yeah, exactly.
And then he walloped you.
Wallop me, the woman next to me, she looked at me as if to go, I saw it, mate. And I looked at her as if to say, yeah, but don't say anything, though. Let's not create a scene.
Oh, if I was there, I'd have said something.
Would you?
Yes.
Go on, let's role play it now. Whack.
All right, mate. Look out.
I am all right. Are you all right?
Mind
I love
your
London.
Backpack.
What?
Mind your backpack. You
oh,
heard.
You
heard me.
What a chilled out lady.
I get a bit triggered by backpacks because when I was travelling and backpacking,
did you backpack?
I did backpacking. I fell over in Bangkok with an overheavy backpack and was stuck on my back like a turtle calling Ben. And he turned around and saw me, limbs flailing, and just walked on. He was like, I'm not with her. I can't cope.
Exactly the same thing happened to me, albeit not in Bangkok. When I first started high school, I was so nervous that I wouldn't have brought the right book to a lesson. That for, I'd say, the first couple of months of school, I took every textbook every day just in case they went, oh, no, it's physics today. Did we not tell you?
Oh.
So my bag was so heavy. And, of course, I had to carry it on two straps. But if you wear two straps, you get called two-strap Billy.
Right.
And they pull the middle bit. So that I would frequently be on my back like a little turtle.
Very humiliating.
It's yeah, you've got to sort of roll and then do a push-up to get up.
Yeah,
and
there's actually, a bit of leverage.
That's where I developed the upper body strength for which I'm now famous. So I'd like to say
that's good to know the origin story of your upper body strength.
Yeah, you can see it, can't you? People sometimes think I've knocked them with a backpack, but it's actually a pec. I think what you've got to do is you've got to differentiate between things people do deliberately that are upsetting. So I don't think you accidentally cut your toenails on a train. I think that's a decision. Neil has messaged in to say, I hate people.
Strong.
Who get to the ticket barrier and then decide to look for their card or phone. I hate it too, but that to me, that's not a deliberate choice.
Yeah,
they're
but
not walking up.
Well, I have this with my husband. Sometimes we get right to the car and then he looks for his key. I'm like, we were approaching the car for some time and you knew that you'd need to open it. We could speed this all along if you're good to go.
Does he still do it?
Yeah.
So he's incompetent. It's not a choice. You've married an incompetent human being.
Well, I'd say these people at these barriers are incompetent.
Yeah, well, exactly.
Yeah.
So you can make it a rule, but you can't advocate for incompetence. They're still going to be incompetent people. So
they're
I'm
laid
happy
back.
To discuss
That's the
it
problem.
And shame them.
They're laid back. They're genuinely like, oh, yeah, I need a ticket. Got to get it out.
Do you know, I used to think that when I was young. And now, not that I'm chilled, I still get angry. But I've learned now, actually, they're not. Nobody's happy. Nobody's happy. That's what I've realised. So you think they're laid back, but they're not. They get through the bar and they think, you're such an idiot, Steve. Why don't you just get your ticket out? And then he's going to, because he's panicking, then he's going to put it back in a different pocket.
Yeah.
So he's going to get where he's going and not be able to find his card because he's put it because he was panicking through the barriers.
We're all flawed. We're all flawed, John.
We're all miserable, flawed wretches.
I wouldn't
You're
put it like
to
that.
John Richardson on Absolute Radio. You got one from Amy?
I have got one from Amy. She says, my pet hate, excuse the pun, is dogs on trains, on seats with no blanket. My dog Milo has two train blankets that he knows are his. People who put their feet on the seats are self-entitled, lazy, argumentative, sometimes with gank shoes. What's gank shoes?
Gank before.
Rule breakers who believe it is someone else's job to clean up after them. They're usually the people who complain to me about Milo being on a seat. Well, my dog has a cleaner bum than the soles of your gank shoes and feet. She's livid.
She is, and I think once you're using the phrase "my dog has a cleaner bum than," you're not going to win that argument.
And what a gank? What's gank? I don't know gank. Is that a northern?
Is it? It must be like rank, is it?
But rank is rank. So rank she's making rank. Up words as well.
Maybe it's a sort of mix of maybe it's gross and rank. Gank.
Well, you got to pick a team.
okay, so you're angry with Amy. I don't mind a dog on a train without a blanket.
Not on the seat, though. That is over the line.
I'll tell you a story shortly about how needy I am when it comes to... Do you know what I hate? Pet hate. And it happened to me this week with dogs on a train.
Yeah.
I hate dogs who don't look at me as if I'm nice. Dogs who are too cool and just ignore me. I hate it. I was on a train with a little sausage dog this week.
Oh,
it was
yeah,
a busy train,
dogs.
So I was stood up and he was facing in. I couldn't have been closer to this dog.
He didn't
and
care.
I was looking at it for the whole journey to go, go on, mate, have a little look up here. Have a look at this face.
Wasn't
dog just didn't care that I existed.
That's tragic, absolutely John, tragic. You need to hang out with cockapoos. They're well needy.
Yeah, well, I will tell you shortly about the lengths I will go to befriend a dog. It's time for I Love You But. It's our one and only dedication with a little bit of grit inside it. And this week it comes from Kate.
Hi, John. Thanks for giving me this week's one and only dedication. I'd like to give it to my mum, Bev. Mum, I love you, but please stop being such a prankster. You are in your 60s. You took it too far last weekend. And when you were dancing with Sue and subtly unbuttoned her trousers, so when she jumped up to dance, they fell down. No one needed to see that. Please just take it easy. From your loving daughter, Kate.
Whoa, I want to see it.
I really want to see it. If anything, I want to see more pranksters in their 60s.
That is a great prank. Poor Sue, but well done, Bev. 10
yeah,
out of 10.
I guess if Sue and Bev are still friends and still going out dancing, Sue knows what the deal is with Bev.
Yeah. She's like, let's go out with Bev. My trousers might fall down.
Sue's getting ready and she goes, I better wear my nice pants.
I'll wear my elastic waist. You can't trust her with buttons.
These are going on show.
I'll wear my best pants. On. Yeah.
I didn't feel like Kate sounded unlike you, Kerry. Was that unfair? The way
no,
she said
I thought
hello?
That. She's got a similar sort of accent, hasn't she?
I wonder if you're from a similar sort of...
The South.
Yeah.
The South of England.
Well, you can't say that because all I've heard on the radio this week is people from the Southwest saying the Southwest is not the South.
Oh,
all
right.
I don't know if you happen to be listening to the radio when the announcements about travel in the regions was made, but it turns out the regions is everywhere but the Southwest, and will know this as a Devonian. Oh, terrible
they
trains
getting
down
right
there.
Flap about that, right. Well, yeah, she did have a similar sort of Essex-y estuary accent.
Here's the problem, Will, and I'll allow you here, if you will, to speak for all the people of Devon and Cornwall, which I know you love to do. Hmm. You're often saying I'm a man of the people and I know what everyone down there thinks. If you have better transport from Norwich and Devon and Cornwall to London, you will have more people from London in Norwich and Devon and Cornwall, and therefore they will become less pleasant. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, 100%. That's why. Especially Thank Cornwall, you. Yeah. More so than Devon.
Will says, no travel. If anything, make the trains worse. That begins our campaign on Great Western Railway to put off anybody travelling to Devon and Cornwall. This is this week's dedication. It's for Bev. Kate wants you to stop pranking. I'll be honest, she's in the minority. Everybody else says, keep going.
Up.
I'll send you a slingshot.
John Richardson.
And the John Richardson Show.
Get John Richardson on.
John Richardson.
This is the John Richardson Show.
John Richardson and Kerry Godleman on Absolute Radio. It's the time of the week where I am mean to people who've achieved something, because Saturday is the time for the smug, isn't it? Had an early night on a Friday, all feeling smug on a Saturday.
Yeah.
I like to warm up with people I claim are my friends. That is you Uh-oh. This week, Kerry.
Oh, right, okay.
Is that all right?
Yeah,
so you
let's
tell
do it.
Me. You tell me something that's made you feel good this week and I'll be horrible about it.
Oh, okay, I like the clarity. Well, I I'm a bit boring, but it's been gardening, a lot of gardening. It's that time of year where there's a lot of gardening to do. I tidied up my potting shed, like properly gave it a good old tidy. Put all the pots, the little pots inside the medium pots, inside the big pots. Oh. I did the Russian doll of pots. It's tidy in there. And I got a new little top brush, a little, it's not quite a dustpan size, it's a smaller size, just for surfaces. All the pleasure, sweeping my little...
inside the grain of the wood.
Yeah.
Getting all your soil out.
Yes. Ooh. So much pleasure. And it's all tidy in there. Don't spoil it, John. Don't spoil it.
I don't mind a tidy potting shed, I have to say.
Yeah.
What state is your house in?
Not as good as the potting shed,
yeah,
I must say.
Okay.
I like it in the potting shed more. There's laundry and housework to do in the house.
Yeah, kids have just finished exams, you're on tour, and you've made a decision at some point to allow the space in which you live and eat to be less clean than the potting shed.
I would say it was a conscious decision. It's just gone that way. Because I'm quite laid back now, so I just go with the vibes.
Yeah, you just go out to the shed.
Yeah, sit in the shed.
Composting, yeah. Correct me if I'm wrong as well. When we first started this, you were smug about the fact you tidied your potting shed.
Yeah, I do it a lot.
And we haven't done a smugness in the meantime where you are smug about potting anything. So may I suggest the potting shed is just a space for you to go and sit in
play with pots.
You just got, you want somewhere to go and have a little dustpan and brush.
I go and potter in my potting shed.
Ah, so you're pottering, not potting.
Well, I'm not doing loads. I haven't put loads in this year. I put a few tomatoes in. What else have I put in? I think already
tomatoes.
The snails have had all the flowers I put in.
Yeah?
Yeah. So it doesn't take long for me to unpack my smugness as well.
Well, listen, I'm glad that you are smug, that you've got a lovely clean potting shed, and I feel sorry for the family who have to pick up the slack in the house. That's all I'm going to say.
I'm guessing
Ben's been very busy this week.
Yeah.
I'm guessing the kids have been very busy this week. Where's Mum? She's chilling out in the potting shed again.
Yeah, I am down there a lot. Now I feel bad that I've...
Well, how many hours are we talking?
Well, on a Saturday, most of it.
Most of Saturday in the potting shed.
Happily.
Everything all right? My work here is done. Will tells me I'm joined on the line now by Harry.
Good morning.
Hello, Harry. Good morning. How are you and what are you smug about?
I'm very good, thank you. And I'm smug because on Saturday I won Britain's Got Talent.
Ooh.
Oh, mate.
Go on then, John. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Massive congratulations. So your final performance, I know all about this. You did a magic trick whilst jumping out of a plane, right?
Yeah, that's right, while skydiving.
Tell me where your accent is from, because I think it's going to make it increasingly hard for me to be mean to you.
It is Blackpool.
Oh, mate, come on. Give us a chance. Give us a chance to be horrible. Oh, I love Blackpool.
You'll find something. Go on, John.
how has your week been, Harry? Pretty insane, I imagine.
It has been a whirlwind. Honestly, it really hasn't sunk in yet. It's just been absolutely insane, but so unbelievably grateful. It's just, can't believe it.
Right. Now, listen, I've had a look at who else was in the final, and I can see a lad who was 11 years old. So can I just warm up gently by saying... all you've done really is make an 11-year-old sad.
Oh.
Is that all right?
Me and Ollie, I've got the tightest bond, by the way. We are tight.
Can't even have that. So you're friends. You can't be winning stuff and making friends, all right? You use one or the other in this business. You make enemies and you proceed. I have to say, because Britain's Got Talent is one of those things I was talking earlier about, watching shows and you feel like you're going to have to go on them at some point. And I don't know if Kerry will back me up here. The feeling of having to grab people's attention very quickly. Mm-hmm. I've been doing comedy for about 23 or something years now. I don't think I've ever got a laugh within the first 5 minutes of a gig, even up till now. The idea of having to come out and impress people immediately gives me such anxiety. So I don't know how you do that.
Jumping out of a plane will do it.
Yeah.
That's going to get a reaction.
You've got to go big.
Go large.
And did you do that because you like jumping out of planes anyway?
John, I'm terrified of heights. I'm a big one here in Blackpool at the Pleasure Beach. And at that point, I didn't think it could get that much worse because genuinely, I really am just absolutely frightened of them. But with it being the final, I just thought, try and take it to a higher level than possible. Literally. And that's what we did.
You've just used the word literally correctly as well. So I can't even.
There's nothing. You've got nothing on him.
This is very hard. Now I've got one last play here, Harry. So I'm hoping this will work. Correct me if I'm wrong. You proposed during your semi-final.
I created a proposal. It wasn't me that proposed. I created a proposal as part of the act during the performance.
I see. Now, not that I want to speak for all people, but marriage is, of course, a miserable contract that people are entering into, and those people are going to be unhappy, if not for the rest of their lives. You've set a bar for them where they can never match that. Once you've had your proposal on telly in Britain's Got Talent semi-final, what do you do for the next birthday? They're going to turn up at ZZ's, and they're going to be like, this isn't...
It's not as good.
Have we peaked? Have we peaked? So all I will say is...
inspiration, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I can't... There's nothing I can say to you. You've had an amazing week and you deserve it. Good luck. I presume you're going to then be the first magician in space after that.
That is the Royal Variety plans. You've already beat me to it there. So the King enjoys that too, but I'm glad we're on the same page.
So what is the plan now, off the back of the win, before the Royal Variety? What's planned?
Yeah, so we're already straight into the planning process for the Royal Variety. I've got some amazing ideas that I can't wait to share with everyone. And hopefully everyone will like what I've got in store. And fingers crossed the King will too.
Well, absolutely. Because you don't want to upset the King. Maybe I'll postpone being mean to you. I'll let the King do it for me. Imagine if the King went full gladiator and just lowered his thumb. I think you're going to absolutely smash it. You're going to absolutely smash it. Where do we find you? You find you on social media and stuff?
Absolutely. I'm on Instagram at Harry Moulding Magic. Moulding, M-O-U-L-D-I-N-G. And the same on Facebook, TikTok, and across all platforms.
I'm thrilled for you. I hope that very soon you have your own venue in Blackpool, and I'll look forward to coming along. Well done, Harry.
Thank you so much. See you soon.
I think I failed that smugness. Would you agree?
Yeah, he was rubbish.
Yeah, it wasn't my bad.
You just couldn't bring him down, though. He was so happy.
Well, he's so young and so happy, and he's from a part of the world that I adore.
Right.
And he's just had the best week of his life.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes
you've
got to let him have it, haven't you?
Yes.
You've got to let him have something.
Yes, John, this is what I said to you.
Chilled Kerry.
Yeah, this is who I am now.
I think magic is great for that kind of format where you've got to come out and do something instantly grabbable that ends well. Because did you do stand-up competitions when you started?
Yes, didn't we do them together? We must have done them around the same time.
We would have. I went out in the first round, so you think you're funny. I went out in the semi-finals of the BBC. I got to the final of what I'm not a competitor.
How did you get on in Funny Women?
Yeah, did pretty well in that, actually. Yeah, depressingly well, actually.
I don't remember it fondly that time because you sort of have to do it to get on, but it's not very nice.
Well, I think as a stand-up, you do have to tweet your act. You have to do something that will work in 7 minutes,
mm-hmm.
And that's not necessarily. I sort of knew starting out, I'm not going to be that kind of comedian who's just. But I remember I was starting at the same time as Rod Gilbert, and the first time I saw Rod Gilbert, just thought, I'm never going to be that funny.
I remember
let alone in 7 minutes.
No, I remember being in the Leicester Comedy Festival competition, and he won. He won that year, so I was in that heat.
He won everything.
He did win everything.
Absolutely.
And Greg,
everything
Greg Davis won everything as well around that time.
Yeah, my first ever gig was my first ever gig, like my first round of a competition. And I turned up, genuinely thinking because it was called New Talent, nobody would ever have done comedy before. They were all like, oh yeah, well, I was at the Glee Club at the weekend. I was like, oh, so you've done a gig before, have you? And they said, yeah, we've all done loads. Have you not? And I said, no, I've never.
I'll come back next year?
No, it was too late. I was sort of, my family had come, my mum and sister were there, all my friends from uni were there. I still had the coat that the bird had pooed on when I was walking back with the bookcase.
You had the bookcase. That was quite a gimmick for your act, carrying on a bookcase.
It was, yeah, because it was so heavy.
It got a lot of attention
over the hour. Oh my, I couldn't believe. And then they said, "Oh yeah, Rod will be here in a minute. Rod's going to win the whole thing."
And then he blew the roof
off. How do you know that? And of course, he did win the whole thing, and deservedly so. The only thing I could do at that point was have 5 pints. So that's what I did.
Did you have a little cry in the car after?
Do you know, it went all right. I think I got one laugh, and that was one more than I expected.
Oh,
so
brilliant!
Just stuck with it. But yeah,
they're
congratulations.
They're not easy, are they? Competitions.
No, they're not. And I don't think I've ever been funny in 7 minutes. I think that's why this show is 3 hours long. if I could get all my act across in 7 minutes. If you listen to John Richardson on Absolute Radio, Sarah Champions here at 8:07. I would have done my bit. Give me 3 hours, I'll get to you eventually. Kerry and I are about to crown our golden rule for rules on public transport. We've discussed rules for behaviour in pubs, I think, before, haven't we, and in various other places.
Yeah.
The public transport one has kicked off, so it's gone across 2 weeks. I'll be honest, the front runner for me is still Angela's from last week, because I think it is inconsiderate, it is deliberate, and it's something we can deal with immediately, which is that it's an outright ban on people having the clicking sound on their keyboards when they're working on phones and laptops.
Oh, that doesn't bother me as much as people having loudspeaker on, having a conversation.
Interesting.
Oh, that one really winds me up.
Okay, we've got
really
one last
say,
entry.
Mate, heard of headphones.
Yeah. But that's counteracted, we discussed this, by the occasion where actually the conversation's really interesting. And it's just free entertainment.
Never interesting.
Chilled out, Kerry's gone. Your life is never interesting.
I totally disagree with no ferrets or raccoons. Bring on the ferrets and raccoons.
Right. Let's see if Martin can sway you. Yeah, Angela was on a train with a raccoon.
I'd be over the moon with a raccoon.
Deep in the heart of the Everglade Forest. Martin has sent this in.
Hi, John and Angela. Martin here, still living the dream with another 45 years ahead of us. I use public transport all the time as part of my job. And a lot of the time, of course, people have a bit of a cold, a bit of mucus. And obviously, we like to politely blow this into a tissue. However, at some point in the last few years, has it become socially acceptable to draw it back in and make disgusting noises? Oh. Bye for now. Love the show.
I think we know the answer to that.
Yeah, but he worded it beautifully as well.
Draw
he just,
it back in.
He put it gradually more disgusting as he was talking, wasn't he? He just gave a little pause before using the word mucus. He knew that was a big drop.
Yeah.
A little bit of the old mucus.
That's gross, and I hate those noises people make.
Yeah. Yeah, but would you... So you'd say something to people with backpacks. Would you say, go and blow your nose?
No.
So is that the golden rule? Or is it backpacks? Or is it speakers? I mean, the toenails is... I think in terms of the... And I have seen it, so I know it happens.
I've never seen that. I have said to people that are watching a video or something on their phone and they've just got it on loudspeaker, can you turn that off?
Yeah.
Can you put headphones on or turn it off?
And have you ever had the thing where you think you've got headphones in and they're not plugged in properly, or your pods have died and you haven't realised?
Yes, and I was listening to an audiobook by Sally Rooney, and it was filthy, and then it came out and a really, really rude bit. I got a lot of attention on a packed tube. They were like, oi, oi.
Can you turn that back on, actually? We'll find out how it ends.
What went where?
So what would your suggestion be for golden rule? Clicker keyboards, people cutting their nails.
I say more raccoons. Get a raccoon and bring it on.
Oh, so you're saying it's not what we ban people from. You can behave how you like, yeah, so long as you arrive on the train with a raccoon.
Yeah, you can go on for free if you've got a raccoon.
I mean, you can't earlier advocate for pranking in the community of people in their 60s and then go back on that. So I'm going to say more pranking in the 60s. And the golden rule for public transport is you can do whatever you like so long as you've got a raccoon.
Yeah, I think that's reasonable.
So already on Absolute Radio, you will have got the impression that there is plenty that myself and Kerry find annoying. Every week we deal with one of the most annoying things, the incorrect use of the word literally. And that is why we set up this, the Literal Police.
The Literal Police! Catch and fend the people who use the word literally when they literally meant something else. They're like a really pathetic version of the FBI.
Now, we're always on the lookout for literal criminals. It's been another busy week on the Literal Police Hotline. Two cases to hear today, including, I'm told, our first repeat offender being taken so seriously I've not yet been told who it is. Gives me slight anxiety that it might be me. And if it is, I should be very upset with myself and producer Will. Now, before we get to that, Martin has been in touch to report an offence.
Hi, John. I have a literal offence to report. Another celebrity bang to rights. This time, it's George Clark. Please investigate this. Many thanks, Martin.
Okay, George Clark's amazing spaces and less amazing sentences. Let's hear what he's talking about.
I wasn't expecting this.
It's just a little bathtub.
Crikey! That's blown me away.
And yet it didn't, did it?
I tell you what, when you can't see it, it is a funny image.
He doesn't sound like he's blowing away.
Yeah, there wasn't time, but I would have loved to hear. I mean, wow, it's just a little bathtub. Whoosh! The sound of him landing in a nearby field. But fairly open and shut case, that, isn't it?
Oh, definitely. He didn't blow away.
Not been blown away. In you go. Have to say, I watched last week after the show. I went back and watched some of the gymnastics in the afternoon. I think UK gymnastics is the home of the incorrect use of the word literally.
There
are too many. I'm just currently speaking to the governing body for UK gymnastics because I think it's all of them. I think the easiest thing to do at this point would be to just close down gymnastics. It was every 30 seconds.
Really? Oh. Like, for example?
She's literally trained her heart out this year. All that kind of stuff.
Oh, right, yeah.
It's an
not
ongoing
any,
investigation.
That was
that
literally
one.
A roly-poly.
Oh, no, just don't have the bodies to deal with it. Now, I'm nervous now because the way this has been handled makes me think that this is me. So we have to turn our attentions to a very serious report made to the Literal Police Hotline. Donna has been in touch with news of our first ever repeat offender.
Hi, John. I've got some alarming news. I've spotted an instance of a repeat offender for the Literal Police to investigate. The convict in question says they've literally eaten out of everything and have committed this offence despite already being locked up. I need you to investigate this urgently, please. Thank you.
I don't feel like I've said that.
Oh, this doesn't
Do you feel like
well.
You've said that? Okay, let's find out who it was. Here we go.
It's just difficult, isn't it? I mean, I'd literally eaten out of everything. I've eaten cereal out of a fondue set.
Ooh, I mean, John.
Out of baking trays. I've eaten out of mixing bowls. I've literally done the whole lot.
Twice.
What's that from? What is that from?
John, where were
That's
you?
That's not on this show. That's not this show, is it?
It was on Six Music.
That's the olden... You can't go back to the olden days. No.
The olden days.
If that's from the olden days...
That was before you set up the Literal
Police.
That was
before there even was a Literal Police. No, I'm not having that. Not having that at all.
Oh, that's really bad, trolling. Trolling your past.
Because, listen, due to circumstances beyond my control, I have a career I do not deserve. And therefore, there's more footage of me talking out there. And I think it's AI. I think she'd put that together herself.
It did sound a lot like you.
Listen, I think it's AI. I think it's totally false. These are totally made up accusations. No. If that's from those days, then...
How long ago was that?
That is... he's talking 15 years ago.
Oh, that was ages ago.
Absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, okay.
I didn't even know you could still listen to all that old stuff.
I didn't, and why would
you? You have a gramophone or some sort of retro device.
I'll tell you why you'd go back. You'd go back specifically to snitch on a young man who's doing... That's me in my Harry Moulding days, that is. I'm just a young magician, jumping out of a plane... Trying to please Bruno Tonioli. Yeah? You got a problem with that? Okay. No, that's the end of... I'll take it. I'll take all offences from now onwards. I don't mind being corrected, but you cannot be going back to my youth.
Have any other offenders been from the past? Or are they all sort of current?
Not that far. No, they've got to be now.
Right.
We've had like in the last week or so. But you can't be going...
You can't go back 15 years.
I cannot police all historical youth. Then I can start worrying that everyone around me is wearing a wire. I'm going out for a pint with a mate and say it and just think, hang on a minute. Did she send you? Did Donna send you? Go back and listen to my French oral from my exams and find out me using it incorrectly in French in 1996. All right, Donna. I see what you're trying to do. And do you know what I mean?
Unless you did eat cereal out of every vessel, literally.
I have eaten out of many vessels.
But you wouldn't go as far as to say
it. I wouldn't say it now.
Right.
I wouldn't say it now.
Okay.
But at the time... And I'll tell you what that's talking about. When you're gigging a lot and you're out on the road, I think it started with me eating a takeaway curry out of a little B&B mug with a teaspoon. And
okay.
It being a depressing experience. That's my memory of it.
Right.
Look, I'll apologise. These mistakes were made by me off my own back. Ha ha! I'm sorry for nothing. John at absoluteradio.co.uk.
Bringing some showbiz sparkle to an otherwise ordinary Saturday.
The John Richardson Show.
It's John Richardson and Kerry Godleman here for one more hour on Absolute Radio. You've heard the news. Now it's a little chance to discuss some of the news that wasn't in the news that might have been in the news and perhaps could or should have been in the news. Kerry,
yes.
What have you seen this week?
I found a bloke called David Serkin. He has won the lottery for the fourth time.
No.
Yes.
Like actual lottery.
yes.
Well, I mean, like, has he
Lotto.
Won a tenner?
No, he's like jackpot. So he won 500,000 on the August 20 Lotto Max draw.
Right.
Hang on, something's popped up on the doodah.
And then
he won.
Found out this week, people just click accept cookies. I watched Will doing it. Blew my mind. People just
accept
the cookies, mate.
I do.
Do you accept all the cookies?
Yeah, because sometimes if you don't accept the cookies, then they start asking you other questions. And you're like, I don't care.
Yeah, I just don't want the thing. I think that ship has sailed.
And then 1 million on the November 16th lotto, the 649 draw, and most recently 1 million. So these are like top wins on the May the 3rd lotto 649 classic draw, totaling 2.5 million in lottery wins in less than 9 months.
There's got to be some sort of investigation.
There's got to be a racket.
There?
He also won 250,000 lottery prize several years ago.
Where is this man? Is he UK-based?
No, Canada.
He's a Canadian, okay. Yeah. Maybe the Canadian... Well, Canadians are renowned for being sort of quite nice, aren't they? Maybe the Canadian lottery is just quite nice.
The odds of that are, like, insanely unlikely, so...
Yeah, maybe he's really unlucky in every other aspect of his life.
He hasn't had a great life, so let him have it.
you look very sad as well.
No, I'm reading it.
Yeah, fine, keep the money. Yeah.
Yeah.
What would you have... If you'd... The half a million, I can see why you'd think, OK, I'm a lucky guy, I'll do the lottery again. Then you win the million. Then you've won 1.5 million. At what point do you stop doing the lottery?
Well, he has really good... streak. I'd keep going. Yeah. Also, a million's not what it used to be, so the billionaires tell us.
Yeah, absolutely. Poor fella's probably skint.
Yeah, it's like it doesn't go as far as you think it does, guys.
I made a documentary years ago when we filmed with a guy who'd won the lottery.
Yeah.
And he was an extremely unhappy gentleman.
Oh, was he anyway, or just since?
He said it changes your relationships to all your existing friends and family because they all know you've got money. And because you haven't sort of earned it, they don't mind asking you for it in a way they wouldn't if you sort of ran a successful business or something.
Oh,
and he said then you can't trust anyone you ever meet again for the first time because you just wonder if they're only talking to you because they know you won the lottery.
Maybe some of that was in his nature anyway. Because I just think maybe if you've got a slightly more generous spirit, it would be fun.
Yeah, and also he had a really nice car and a swimming pool in his house. Who needs friends? Would you swap everyone you love in your life for a swimming pool?
No, John, of course I wouldn't. I don't care that much about a swimming pool.
Stupid question. Was only joking anyway by asking it. Was just having a laugh. So here's a headline for you. Fried chicken toothpaste sells out. I'd say everyone involved with that campaign had probably sold out at some point long before that came to market.
Gross.
Fried chicken flavoured toothpaste. I won't tell you who it is because you obviously don't need me to, but it's somebody with a signature blend of herbs and spices.
Oh, secret recipe.
Even for that, it's $13 a tube and it's sold out.
What? How many did they make? Four?
Three.
I can't imagine why that would appeal to you. Well, not to you because you're a vegan, but...
No. Will said he's having it.
That's so disgusting, Will.
Go on, mum him.
What would your girlfriend say? To your chicken breath and your chicken teeth. Do you want to keep a girlfriend, Will?
And this is a woman who doesn't clean her house. She'd rather go out to the potting shed with the spiders than clean her own house. And she thinks your breath stinks.
If someone leaned in to give you a kiss and they stank of chicken toothpaste, you'd be like, no, sorry, no.
Yeah, I don't know, actually.
Is it minty chicken or just straight chicken?
It's just the herbs and spices. A full-on flavour takeover of your oral care routine. I mean, somebody had to write that. I hope they're happy. I really
that's
do.
Gross.
I have had a bit of a... Because my daughter doesn't like minty toothpaste.
Right.
And then you get to an age where it's absolutely cornered the market. So I do think there's more space for different flavours of toothpaste.
I think there are, aren't they? But you don't have to lean into chicken.
No, I think chicken is far too...
kids ones that are, like, different flavours.
There are kids ones, yeah, but then once you get into the grown-up market... Kids have grown out of it by then.
What about the charcoal one? Watermelon,
strawberry. No, charcoal I don't like because I don't like spitting it out. It looks too dirty. I think, God, was that the state of my mouth? And it feels like olden days, chomping down on charcoal to clean your teeth.
Yeah, like chewing a stick.
I went back to the dentist recently because my last dentist told me that it wasn't worth flossing at my age because of...
Oh, I've had that.
Because
feedback.
Of gum recession.
Yeah, you've got to get those little sticks, those little tiny toilet brushes. Get them.
Yeah, well, I was told get the Aquajet thing that sprays in your mouth.
Oh,
so I said that to a new dentist, and that new dentist looked at me like I was the most gullible fool. My last dentist told me to brush my leaf with my wham strips. Apparently it does the same thing. She looked at me like I was an absolute moron.
Oh, I love it when dentists slag off other dentists.
Yeah, she did say, who was that? Who told you that? It wasn't here, it was somewhere else. I don't want to get in trouble with the dentist.
Did they then sell you the jet spray?
A new toothbrush head and some of the big sticks. They're basically like cabers, these things. I've got a stick between the gaps in my teeth.
Right, it's really depressing aging.
It's the end of the night, isn't it? That's why I think they've sold this chicken-flavoured toothpaste, is because... You brush your teeth, it's just going to make you hungry, and then you're going to go and have to eat something.
And it's
bedtime.
You've got
the lovely taste of herbs and spices in your mouth. Mm. And the last thing I want to do, like, just before bed, right before you go to bed, is stick things in the really sensitive, and you can feel it going in and out.
Oh, it's... Sometimes you get into it, though, don't you? You have a good old scrub.
No, I don't.
Get right in.
Oh, dear. Can I ask, are you one of these people who watches YouTube videos of people squeezing spots?
No, I don't like that. But I did get quite caught up in a de-bobbler the other day.
I mean, physically.
Yeah, I just thought, oh, that does look pleasing.
What, taking bubbles off cardigans and things?
De-bobbling, little de-bobbling machine.
You're listening to the voice of the young, John Richardson and Kerry Godleman. You want to talk about potting sheds, you want to talk about de-bobblers, and you want to be mean to everybody who claims to care about you in your life. You've come to the right place. You may have heard Dave announce on the Dave Berry Breakfast Show earlier this week for Monday, Absolute Radio will be the home. Nobody else is talking about this. The Britpop Summer launches on Monday on Absolute Radio. And as a result, there is an embargo on discussion of Britpop on all of the radio stations. Ooh. So if you hear anyone else discussing Britpop this summer, you are entitled to, I think, phone the police direct. Am I right with that, Will? No, he's shaking his head and he looks quite upset and he's composing an email. However, we will be showcasing all the best acts from, let's be honest, an iconic era of music. Naturally, it's a huge summer as Oasis are getting back together after 16 years for some live shows. I don't know if you've heard. Did you know that was happening, Kerry?
I did hear about that, yes. Yeah. Did you ever see them live?
No, I didn't. And we'll discuss that because I did have the opportunity to go with my friend and colleague Matt Ford when they played Wembley.
Fan.
He loves them and he got tickets the last time and he said, why don't you come with me to Wembley? And I said, great, I'd love to. And he said, bring a waterproof jacket. And I said, why? Mm-hmm. Might it rain? And he said, yes, but not from the sky, from glasses of... expectorate, may I say, expelled by some of their fans. And I said, wonderful, I'm not going. And he said, you're joking, aren't you? He said, it probably won't happen. And I said, well, if there's a chance, I'm not going to risk it because I don't like to socialise around people who do that kind of thing.
Fair enough.
And sure enough, he went and was hit in the face by a large glass of warm not beer. I don't regret not going. And
that means
if I'd have been stood next to him, I'd have got it.
It hasn't taken his love away though, has it?
Have you been to see Oasis?
I saw them at Finsbury Park. I can't remember what year it would have been, but it was in the 90s.
Did you get lubricated?
No, but I do remember the bottles getting chucked around.
Yeah, it was horrible behaviour.
Yeah, it was.
An awful business.
But I remember having a good time, so.
This is where I think, for a start, Absolute can help. So if you haven't seen Oasis Live, or if you have and you couldn't get tickets this time, from 6 a.m. on Monday, Dave is giving you the chance to win your way into some of those Oasis gigs in 10 weeks of tickets. So tune in, and loads of people didn't get tickets. If you haven't, Dave Berry is your man and Absolute Radio. All the music and chat from the Neighbourhood Weekender Festival, exclusive live tracks from James, Stereophonics, Ocean Colour Scene, The Wombats, behind the scenes chats with all those people too. Every weeknight, next week, Monday to Thursday, Britpop Summer, Absolute Radio for Monday. This is where I think, Kerry, because I think we're the same age.
You're a bit younger than me.
Yeah, you're slightly, yeah. And I think you can feel that in your sort of negative nature. so in 1997, 98, I was 15, 16. And
oh,
it was
no,
too
I'm a lot older
young.
Than you.
And I think that just that few years difference meant that you probably went to a lot more gigs than I did.
Yeah, it must have done because I'm nearly 10 years older than you. So I was.
No, you're not.
I am. Yes.
Are you in the fives?
Oh, yeah, I'm in.
Are you in the fives?
I'm in the fives now, mate. Yeah.
Wow.
So I rem 97.
So
I
did you see the Beatles?
Come on. I didn't go to loads and loads of gigs, actually. But I did see, I remember seeing Radiohead quite a lot.
Oh, yeah.
In the 90s, yeah. Saw them, like, a few times. So but I saw Supergrass last week.
Did you?
So, I'm still keeping it going. No, in Leeds.
How was that?
Brilliant. It was absolutely brilliant, yeah.
We came up to Leeds to watch a band.
I had a gig. I had a tour gig, and then I went to see Supergrass afterwards.
The same night? Oh, sorry.
You went really shrill. So,
you went that night? You came off stage, and then you went to a gig?
Well, Rob went ahead, and then he said, ring me when you're outside. We caught at least the last hour.
That's
it was so really
cool.
Near. It was really... Yeah. It felt cool. I've never felt cooler. I am cool, John.
You
I mean, that does
cool.
sound
yeah,
really bad.
I am go
cool,
to a gig.
John.
I come up, do you know what I do when I come off stage? I go to the hotel and then I complain that there's no food.
Well, normally I don't go to Supergrass gigs after gigs, but that was a rare...
Yeah, but you've only got to do that once.
Yeah,
and
no,
then you
I
can
feel
tell
like
that story for the rest
it.
Of your life.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I've done it no times.
I did feel like there was a big old room full of Gen Xers jumping about. That was the vibe.
Yeah, well, I look forward to a whole summer of that vibe. Britpop summer begins, Absolute Radio on Monday. So we're coming to a close on Absolute Radio, and I don't like to leave any ends unwrapped up.
Tied
what
up,
a sentence.
Tied up ends,
tied
tie
up,
them up, yeah.
Tie up loose ends off your own back, literally. Just imploding, taking my own self down. I've been told that I said I was going to tell a story earlier about a dog, and I didn't tell you. So I was in the pub this week. I take it very personally if a dog doesn't like me.
Yes, which we heard about the train dog earlier.
The sausage dog. Sausage dog wouldn't even sniff my hand. I was putting my hand near it. Just
aloof.
Thought maybe if it sniffs my hand, it might think.
Sausage dog.
He smells like a nice guy. What a low point that is in your life.
Really
want a dog to think he smells like a nice guy. So the lady came in with a beautiful dog. You know one of them dogs where you don't know what it is? It was like
a mutt.
Almost foxy.
Oh, yeah, sort of wiry fur.
Foxy snout, but very soft fur. Like almost like corgi, like soft Pomeranian fluffy.
Ooh.
But sort of black and orange. A beautiful dog. Clocked it straight away. I said, what a beautiful dog.
Thought I'm going to make friends with it.
She said, oh, he's a rescue dog, so he's a bit shy around people. I thought, we'll see. I thought, I'm the dog whisperer. Just give me a little minute. So just looked at the dog. Dog cowered under the table.
Uh-huh.
The lengths I went to befriend that dog, absolutely pathetic. So
what did you
started
do?
Just shuffling a little bit closer first. I don't want to make the dog uncomfortable. If the dog doesn't want to know me, that's fine. So didn't ever
you
invade
shuffling
the dog's...
definitely makes people uncomfortable.
Didn't want to invade the dog's personal space, but then would sort of... I was there with a mate who I just shunned to try and befriend this dog. Ended up sat on, you know, the little brass rail that is for... people like me to stand on so they get served quicker. Mm-hmm. I don't know what other purpose it serves. Ended up sat on that. Then mm-hmm. I thought, well, even that is too much of a height advantage. So then I was sat on the floor at the bar trying to get this dog to acknowledge me. It sort of came a little bit closer, so I thought there's something in there. So I said, hello. And then she said, oh, he's a Portuguese rescue dog, actually. And I thought, well, I know a bit of Portuguese.
Oh, no.
Then found
you
myself...
chatted to the dog in Portuguese.
Talking to the dog in Portuguese.
How did that go?
Not well. Yeah, not what it turns out.
Reminded him of the abuse that he'd received in Portugal.
That
it triggered him
never
up.
Even occurred to me.
Why do you think he was a rescue, John?
I'm home again. Bom dia indeed, old
no,
friend.
He's a rescue dog, John.
Oh,
left
no.
Portugal.
Yeah. Yeah, basically fled. Is that the scene with Liam Neeson in Taken where he hears the voice? He recognises it from the phone call. Okay. Right, I've learnt a valuable lesson. I now will only communicate with animals who want to befriend me in the language of the country we're in. Oh, my God. Okay. I'd like to apologise to that lady and her dog. So there we go. That is it for this week's show. Thank you, Kerry, as always.
It's been a delight. I feel like I kept up my laid-back persona throughout.
You have been laid back, yeah. And I've been tired, so you've done really well. I didn't tell you why I'm tired. There is a magpie.
They're loud.
Oh, it lands on my windowsill at 5:14.
With the maracas.
On the dot every morning and taps on the window with its little beak. It's definitely pranking me. Every morning, 5:14, because I check my watch.
Oh, I thought you were going to say the maraca sound that they make.
No, it lands on the window. Taps on the window until I wake up.
Well, maybe he's got a message for you.
He hasn't. He just likes upsetting me.
It's like a Disney film. Let him in and talk to him. Try some Portuguese.
I've got to open the window, not to let him in, but to give him what for. And he flies off.
I wonder why.
I don't know if we've got any twitchers listening, but I know some birds eat little bugs off, like, in the woodwork. He's tapping on the window to wake me up.
He's got a message for you.
One of the other comedians who wants this slot has trained a magpie to wake me up. It's making me very cranky. Anyway, we've had a lovely time, and thank you for all your interjections, your voice notes, your emails. They are greatly appreciated. We need to name the podcast of this week's show. Uh-huh. Kerry, has anything stayed with you?
Oh, there's been a lot. Ferrets, raccoons, backpacks, oasis.
That's enough in itself.
Yeah.
We discussed, what about golden rules and summer showers after we discussed
the showers
the
you receive?
Golden rule and the showers you receive at.
That's lovely.
Certain venues. That podcast will be available wherever you get podcasts. I say that. If you're getting them from, like, Boots, it's not going to be there.
One day you'll be able to get a podcast in Boots.
Yeah, I bet. Well, Boots will just be in your mind, and then you'll just think of fried chicken toothpaste and it will appear in your
mouth.
Cupboard. And I, for one, don't like it. What I like is magicians from Blackpool who jump out of planes. That's what I like. Thank you to Harry for joining in today. Have a wonderful weekend. We will be back next week with more. Thank you, Will. Thank you, Charlie. Thanks, Kerry.
Thank you, John.
Ah.
John, son of Richard.
John Richardson.
This is the John Richardson Show.
Thank you for listening. We are back next week with another podcast. And the podcast is, of course, just a mere selection of the joys that you can hear live on Absolute Radio from 8 a.m. on Saturday. Kerry, good luck this week. Are you still on tour?
I've got a couple left. We're coming to the end.
Okay.
I'm in Bristol.
Do you want people to come or have you switched off?
I've sold out, so they can't.
Oh, lovely. So it doesn't matter how good you are because the money is in the bank. So good luck to you if you're seeing Kerry on what we're calling the flip-flops on the beach stage of the tour. But have a wonderful week. Thank you. It was good to see you as always.
It's lovely to see you too.
Take care, everyone. Bye.
Bye-bye.